That's right, back at it, homegrown.
Homegrown.
Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head up in here, man. And Head up in here is super happy.
Hey, you know what? Look, when I'm happy, I like to share shit.
What do you mean?
Like, when I'm happy, I like to do cool shit. I share food. You know what I'm saying? I gave Tomas some fucking cookies. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I noticed that. You are, that is true. Like, whenever you do share food, you're in a good
I'm
mood.
I'm in a good mood. Wow. I just, that's how I express my care and my love and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Your love and shit. Hey, real quick.
What?
Wait, speaking of love, man, happy birthday to your moms.
Happy birthday to my moms, dog.
Let me show you some funny shit that happened yesterday,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
So I'm chilling at the house.
Not doing shit, right?
And I have my phone charging, so I look at my phone. I'm like, okay, I get two missed calls from Head. Usually when Head hits you twice, it's some shit going on.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, fuck, some shit that went on at the station. I don't got a job. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Head, what's up? Hey, man, you at home? Yeah, man. Hey, good, because I'm right outside.
I'm outside your house right now.
What do you mean you outside my house?
A nigga like me pull up.
He outside the crib. And he's done this on a couple of occasions, so it's not surprising that he's outside, but he's outside nonetheless. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Right? And he commenced to tell me that, man, shit is fucked up right now. Because it's mom's birthday,
yeah.
But mom's ain't where you needed to be.
No, mom, I thought, see, the thing is, where you live, where I had to drive back to the hood. Chuck still live in the hood in Carson. So when we was my mom lived, my mom worked in the area. So I was like, I'm going to just pop up at her job and surprise her. I got her a MacBook Pro. You know what I'm saying?
Being a good son,
I'm trying to pop up on her and buy her a laptop because she need one. She on them. She one of them old like Acers,
yeah,
or you know, she on one of them dorm room laptops. You know what I'm talking about? So, I pull up at your crib because I don't know exactly where the fuck I'm going.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know who's been at their mom's job. You know what I'm saying? When you get grown, you stop going to your mom's job. I don't know where the fuck she worked. I don't got the address. So anyway, long story short, I end up sitting at your house all fucking day. Waiting on her. And then
we say all day, dog. It's like you pulled up at like 1:30?
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
What time did you leave?
Almost 10 o'clock.
It was
night.
Like a smooth 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tell them why though.
Because because I called my mom and she wasn't picking the phone up. So I'm like, I don't want to abort mission and go back to the crib. I live in North Hollywood, dog.
And for folks that don't know, that's a long ass.
Yeah, if you
drive.
Ain't from LA, like North Hollywood traffic. In the dead middle of traffic from anywhere is far as fucksville.
Just
okay.
Driving home.
You talking about 2 hours easy on the freeway.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm squatting at your house and I finally get a hold of my mom. She talking about she on the bus to the casino. She
turn, on turning up.
Ain't that a bitch? It's your, I get it. It's your birthday. You can do what the fuck you want to do. But I'm trying to surprise you at work. You not even at work.
Yo, when I say the look on his face,
I was fucking pissed. I ain't gonna lie, though.
But it don't end there, dog. It don't end there. So what time she tell she was gonna be back?
About 7 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's kicking it at the crib. He's like, all right, you know, I'm gonna just knock some work out. I'm gonna hook this laptop up while she's here. While she's over there. So he's expecting to be gone. You expecting to meet her by 7 o'clock?
By 7 o'clock.
So leaving my house probably like around 6:30 maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You get a call.
I missed my train. I'm not going to be back till like 10.
This nigga's face. And I heard her like she was loud when she said it. She
they
was,
having a ball.
She like, they like to girl. Oh, yeah. By the way, I missed my train.
It's
going to take me about an hour to get to where El Monte. And by the time I get home, it's going to be 10.
It was definitely some loud buffoonery going on the other end of my phone.
Bottom line, this is what happens when you show your love to people. So I get it. I understand.
That's why I don't fuck with people.
I understand.
That's why I don't do shit. I don't try to look out for nobody. I don't want to help nobody because niggas always got to be running on their own program.
I see. All right, well, look.
And fucking Jasmine is in here, and she's shaking her head at me, and I don't give a fuck.
Shout out to Jasmine.
Yes.
Yo. It's so funny, like people that know Head, like they know, like this is genuinely him, like he just don't give a fuck. So that's why it was funny to me, because to circle back, the reason why I brought it up, because like you telling people that, you know, this is the way you show love and shit. This is the person you show the ultimate love to, and she pretty much dissed you at this point. Like
she didn't, yeah, she just
that
got
was
on.
Smooth. This like she clearly didn't give a fuck about.
She
what
didn't
you
give
had
a fuck about
on.
Nothing. And then when I dropped, when I gave her the laptop, she was rushing me out of her house so she can go play bingo.
Wait, she was trying to leave again?
Yeah, ain't that a bitch? My mom left the house at about 11 o'clock at night, went to go play bingo, so I just got on the freeway and went back to the crib.
That's funny.
You know, I'm getting out of your house, and I'm going to let you do you.
Well, at least she wasn't trying to get knocked down.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't, listen, my mom ain't got no man, okay? Hey. Bingo is her man.
I don't know. You sure?
Oh, I'm dead. I'm for sure. My mom ain't got no man. So look, hey, it is what it is. You women out here that be always talking about what you ain't finna do for no man, you ain't finna put up with this, you better start putting up with something. I'm telling you right now, because you're going to be at bingo.
Wow. All right, well, look, we got...
Love you, mom.
We got one of the homies in the house with us.
He
right
your
now.
Homie.
Now, he's definitely my homie, man. Producer extraordinaire, man. Somebody that always finds a time to come over here around the time of his birthday. We were just talking about this off air.
When's your birthday? All right, you fucking introduce him.
JanSport J is in the house,
what's
by the way.
What's going on?
Sport the Pharaoh, a.k.a.
What the fuck is
Pharaoh
that? He said that shit on my Snapchat. What's a Sport the Pharaoh?
He's JanSport.
No, I said I was Sporty DeVoe. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm a new member of New Edition.
No, you're not.
Now, I am. Now, the Pharaoh, that just goes back to I was in church one day. Like, this is when I was first growing my beard out, and the lady came up to me, and she told me that I reminded her of one of the old pharaohs just with that look. And it was a weird time in my life, and I was like, I just really embraced that name. What's that?
Is it because of the beard?
Yeah, like gotcha. When I was first growing the beard, maybe 5 years ago or something like that. So I just kind of, you know, took that name on years ago, and it's kind of stuck, so.
Damn, that's crazy, though, man, because we've been rocking with each other for a minute. I said off air, we've been rocking since 2009 when you and Work got together and did High Power Moves.
Right.
That was the first time I remember you guys coming through. Well, I remember going to the release party.
At 7 Bar.
At 7 Bar. Was that in Covina?
No, it was that? Downtown.
Downtown.
We
tripping,
downtown.
Tripping. But yeah, I remember going there and then obviously having you guys on. And but I was just tripping out how long it's been. Like, I put a post up the other day talking about this is the 10th year for Homegrown Radio. Like, that shit in itself is just...
And we got to do something special. Wow. Did you bring us something? Sure. Did you bring us something?
I mean, he just told me
a gift basket,
that, so
some draws, nothing?
I brought myself, nigga.
It's our 10th year doing this.
I brought the presents. But you know what? I'm going to bring a present next time. So it's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Next time. But the thing is, it's been that he's been here so many times within 2009 to about 2012. And then ever since then, we've seen each other like every 3 years.
Pretty much.
Well, I'm okay with that.
It's enough.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that earlier. It's low key. It feels like when you go off to college.
Yeah.
Like you're just gone for forever. And then you come back home and it's like you get the home cooked food, you get the jokes and all that kind of stuff. That's what Homegrown Radio is every single time.
Ain't no food this time, man. Tasha, no food. Tasha done moved up. She got her own location.
Everybody moved up. Y'all on the radio and all that kind of stuff. I see hair everywhere with rappers and DJs, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
he popping.
We got People Magazine back there, or Hip Hop Magazine, whatever that. Like, everybody moved.
Head got real life endorsements.
Crazy, why are we talking about DJ Head?
This is crazy.
This is JanSport J.
And he don't even eat red vegetables.
And he don't
eat
red vegetables. Hey, he smooth put all that shit to the side, too. Oh, man, but we are here for the new project. We were talking about Pharaoh, man.
Yes.
Instrumental album. And I think I ask you this each time, but for you, when it comes to these instrumental albums, like, is this like a creative process for you? Like, do you walk into it saying, okay, I'm going to make an album based off of this, that, and the third, or are these leftover beats, or is this what is the synopsis of what these projects are?
It starts with me wanting to make something and then knowing I'm going to make trash for like a month or two.
You said, so, no, you're going to make trash?
Yeah, pretty much, because like it starts with just that desire, and then I'm just working on beats trying to capture something that I feel that I hear in my head, and you're not getting quite to it.
There.
So, but you have to be disciplined and keep working at it until you get that first, you know, batch of beats where it's like, okay, this is what direction. It is. This is where it's going. And then in the middle of all that, you live some life, you get some inspiration here and there, and, you know, a concept starts forming or whatever it is. So, like you were saying, it definitely is a creative process. It takes a lot of patience, but it's very rewarding as far as, like, it lets me be weird as fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm an awkward, quiet person.
Right,
so, it's just fun to, like, you know, be in my own little world, and it's only beats.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part, but I just enjoy having that time to like try and craft something and put together a body of work. So it's definitely like a rewarding experience.
I feel like it's more than just beats, dog. Like even with and shouts to the Pitchfork review, they gave you a 7.6.
Yeah,
man, 7.6. That's dope.
Yeah.
And the fact that they compared it to J. Dilla's Donuts, man.
I haven't read it. I read the first caption.
Okay.
Like the screenshot that Data sent me.
Yeah.
And I haven't read anything else because I don't have the stomach for that type of stuff. And then like I don't like to get too high or too low.
Gotcha.
And it's funny because the guy, the editor, he works over at Bandcamp and he writes for Pitchfork too. He's the one that kind of connected me with them. And they were fans of the album. And so he was telling me, like, you know, what'd you think of the article? I was like, I haven't read it. And he's like, no, you got to read it.
Did he get upset about that? Or is it just
no, he's
like,
not upset. He just thought it was weird. And I was like, no, I'm just
nigga,
telling you.
I took this time to listen to your shit.
and I said
some favorable shit to
honestly, like, one day I'm just going to randomly read it because it is, like, a big accomplishment for me. Yeah. Something I've always wanted to see. But right now I try to focus on the work because, you know, I am somewhat, like Erykah Badu said, you can get sensitive about your shit.
Right.
I always think, like, even if it's an amazing article, there might be those two or three points where it's like, like that's just going to bug
that, right.
Why do you think you're sensitive like that? Like, why do you?
I think because it comes from a personal space. When I'm just producing for somebody else or, like, it's, you know, it's a little less personal, then it's like, you know, it comes with the game. Somebody. Yeah,
but if you...
I have no problem, like, reading stuff like that. But when it's my own solo joints, like...
But if you creating shit, right? Because this is something that I noticed, like, a lot of artists, they do, right? So if you creating something and it's just for you in your own world, your own space, why put it out for us to critique it?
So the way I interpret it is that the whole artistic process for me is all about just being as honest and truthful and, like, weird as whatever's coming out. Like, don't worry about what's going to sell. I never think about the business when I'm making the music. Now, when I have the album done and I hear what it is, I take a step back and figure out, all right, what is this? Like, how can I push this? Because every project isn't the same. Like, you're going to fuck up if you keep trying to push the same, you know, album down the same outlets or the same audience. Right. Like, everything is a little bit different. So with that, what I try to do is I get in artist mode, just be creative with the music, and then afterwards present it to people. And what I notice, at least for me, is that people kind of connect with the music on a certain level. And sometimes they can articulate and say, yo, this beat makes me feel like this, that Crush record that you played. It reminds me of when I saw this girl that I liked, you know. So they can relate to that. Or some people just like, yo, it's something about this music.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that all just goes into a feeling that's put into the music. Like that energy that's put in is going to connect with somebody on some kind of level. And it's not my job to tell people how to receive it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just to do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
You say you never think about the business when you making the music.
No, not
your
when
own
I'm creating
shit.
It. Yeah, but I definitely do it when I'm done with it. Like, we line everything up after that. Because I don't like tainting the feeling or whatever I'm going through at that time.
You just want to just live and just kind of put it out.
I just want the weird shit to come out.
Whatever,
and take
it
a
is.
Step back. Because if I'm thinking like an A&R all the time or somebody in marketing, then I'm thinking, okay, well, I need a beat that's at 97 BPMs. Now, if you're producing for other artists and stuff like
that,
that's when you put that head on. Yeah, and I definitely do that. But when it comes to my instrumental albums, it's more so like, yo, just
let it go.
Create, see what comes out.
So you said it usually takes you about a month to kind of get in the mode of, oh, this feels right or this direction?
A month or two to get like that first joint or two, and then most of the time I spend like 8 or 9 months working on the album.
So at what point did it get, have you ever got to the point where it took longer than you expected? And how did you react at that point? Like if it normally takes 2 or 3 weeks or maybe a month,
mm-hmm.
what was the moment that it took maybe 2 months and you were like, fuck, I still ain't got that feeling?
I mean, it's like that every time. I freak out every time. But I know it's going to come because I've put out 8 albums like that and I know the process. I know I have to get frustrated. I have to go through all sorts of stuff. So it's just a matter of just being disciplined, and you learn that over time. It's just, you know, you just got to kind of stay at it and, you know, not bug out. Just trust the process, really.
So. That's a trip. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I could imagine being in that process, but being able to kind of stop and start, like you said, you dip off for a little bit.
Right.
Like, but I think that's you. You know what I'm saying? It's authentic to yourself as far as not necessarily wanting to be in the limelight and do shit or whatever. Because I notice that shit. Every time you do something, you step away for a little bit and then you mm-hmm. come back, kind of peek your head out. For you, how do you adapt to social media in that sense? Like, do you still like to, like when it comes to the marketing side, like lining everything up, are you okay in that space when it's time to do it? Or is it like, man, let me just let the business kind of take care of itself. Guys around me do that shit.
What's weird is this album is probably the most vocal I've been, like as far as, tweeting about it, retweeting, posting on Facebook. And, mm-hmm. and it's definitely like it's a transition for me. I feel weird doing it.
Yeah.
Like I feel gross sometimes
because
it feels like, yo, here's my shit. Here's my shit.
Ooh, look at me.
But what I learned that is it's about
what
is that
I'm doing.
Yeah. For so long, I used to think I didn't want to do that because it's not me. And it comes off as like just parading yourself. But what I noticed over the years is that your fans want to be acknowledged.
Man, you better promote.
And like it makes, and I noticed as soon as I started like retweeting people, even the homies that never really say anything, like they were tweeting stuff.
Right.
And it was kind of like contrived, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? That's dope. If this is what what makes people talk, then cool. Then let me, you know, show love to everybody showing love to me. Cause you know, it's a very personal process. And when it's out there for people to fuck with it on any kind of level, it's absurd. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I would do this if nobody ever heard it.
Yeah.
So the fact that anybody shows love, I'm going through the transition learning process of like, yo, you know, you can still be reserved and quiet and all that kind of stuff, but show love to the fans in the way that makes sense and is comfortable on some level.
So, I mean, I know you didn't read it, but you did put this part of the article, the top part, mm-hmm. when they said Jansport J makes instrumental hip hop that summons J Dilla's donuts without falling in its shadow. Like, how does that shit feel? Like, to be compared to that?
It's a double-edged sword. I don't like, or it makes me cringe anytime somebody makes the Dilla comparisons because that's like holy ground. That's hollow shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to let people process what I'm doing, however they do it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. Of course, that's one of my, you know, main influences. But it's more so I just take it as validation that people are like really connecting with it and that it feels reminiscent of something to them.
I think it's dope, man. Like you said, if it comes from other sources,
right.
If it comes from the fans, if it comes from the networks or
exactly.
whatever, it's dope. But the moment you say, yeah, man, it's that J Dilla shit. Like,
yeah, and I see people do it, and it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird to talk like that. And
the
thing is, like, for him to be such an influence on my sound, I've been around everybody that was around him at this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I did shows with Illa. I was on the label with Illa J, his little brother, and House Shoes and you know, just a lot of people that were around that man. So, like, you know, it's, like I said, I'll be honest, it makes me cringe when people, especially if you do it in person, like, I get uncomfortable with that. But at the same time, like, it is like.
So right now, that just didn't make you feel good when we said that.
It's just, when you were reading, I was like, here we go. Maybe he'll get to the end where they say it's his best album.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how to take a compliment.
No, that's the thing, too. I'm awkward.
Working,
so, like, when people start complimenting you in person, I'm just like,
I get awkward about that. I get it.
So what happened when are you single?
Right now, yes.
So you single?
Yes.
So what happened when a woman want to give you some ass? Like, do you like, well, you know what, I really don't know.
No.
I really now feel comfortable about taking this pussy.
Next subject.
Not at all.
Like,
no,
you know, maybe I should just hold back on acknowledging the pussy.
I mean, not at all. I mean, to be real, there is Jansport J and Justin. This happened last time. He was talking about sex.
Addiction.
Last time he asked me, could I go, he said 3 years without sex, like willingly.
He asked you, do you have any addictions?
Yeah.
And he said, no. He said, can you go 3 years without sex? And you was like, no. He said, well, nigga, you addicted.
Yeah.
You addicted.
But no, you said, like, you can go 3 years without sex if you had to, but if I'm choosing that, like, I'm not going to choose to do that.
So, what's the difference between Jansport J and Justin?
Jansport J talks way more than Justin ever would.
Like, so you you don't actually talk to women. You don't actually.
I do
talk
in my own way. Like, it's,
what does that mean? What's the last thing you said to a woman that?
I think I'm.
Give me your phone.
Okay, so
just look at it. Look at the text.
Yeah, like I just you know, I'm saying, like, that little white boy on the meme.
So here's,
you know what I'm saying?
Justin is very quiet, but if you're talking about something that Justin is very interested in, we will have a great conversation.
Like,
and then what happens with women, like, this sounds weird. This is the Jansport J shit because I'm talking, like,
bro,
compliment
you're the
myself.
Same motherfucker, bro.
No, it's
just want to let you know. All right, you're not a Mighty Morphin nigga ranger.
Listen, so, you know, when I'm talking to somebody and having a deep conversation or whatever, it surprises them because it's like, oh, you're so quiet. I never thought this would come out of you. And
you
so
can go there.
That's the game.
I expect you to have a deep conversation. I don't expect you to say, like, bitch, I want some pussy.
Well, you don't have to say it like that.
No, I'm just telling you. I expect you to be like real introspective, yeah. And you know, I would love to exchange bodily fluids with your essence.
No, it's not.
You know, that type of shit.
I'm not shea butter.
Right. You know, shea butter. More shit. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I think that you're very esoteric in nature,
and a lot of people think that, which is funny. So.
Okay,
let's find out. Do you have incense in your house?
No.
Okay,
so no,
you don't got no incense.
I have no incense.
You don't got no chakra rocks or no bullshit like that.
I have none of that.
So what?
Chakra rocks.
I got. I got sugar free in my phone right now.
Pentagrams in their bed and shit.
But people assume that right. For whatever reason.
It's the dreads, dog. It's the dreads. It's the beard.
It's not the dreads.
It is.
It's the way he talks.
It's a combination of that.
It's the way he talks.
It's that, but then when they see everything that kind of lines up with the motherfucker that burned some incense.
I mean, it's a little bit of everything. I have a little bit of that, but I'm not burning sage. I don't. Yes.
All right, let me ask you a question. All right, fuck all that. Which one would you more than likely have in your house, in your room?
Okay.
Hair ties or incense?
Hair ties right now.
I'm talking about hair ties, like girl hair ties. Like, oh, I got you on the trip. And you just go in the bag and give her hair ties.
That sounds crazy, but I'd be more likely to have hair ties.
So you a savage out here.
I don't know if that's what it means. I just don't have instances, what I'm saying. I don't have instances at the crib like that. I'm not ever just going like, yo, I need to get some incense.
Yeah, but okay. God damn it.
I get some like Glade spray or something like that.
He's like Floyd Mayweather. Here come another one. I'm a duck in these motherfuckers. All right, so I think what I'm trying to give people is what you're not giving. Like you are very like
right.
Introverted.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So what is the extroverted part of you?
Shit, go to the South by Southwest, my nigga.
The extroverted part, well, honestly, is either liquor or if we clowning. Like,
liquor and you loosen up.
Liquor, I'll loosen up a little bit, but still, jokes. I have to know you.
Yeah.
Like, if you know me and I'm drinking around you, then cool. And also, if you know me, you know I'm goofy as fuck and I'm clowning all day.
Yeah.
But it's just, I just have a tendency to kind of fill people out. And
why?
Then, that's just how I've always been.
But I'm saying, why? Why do you think that is? You just come in the room and get yours off. Like, boom, boom.
I'm not made. I'm super awkward. So, like,
I'm awkward.
Yeah, but I guess there's a confidence in your awkwardness, I guess. And maybe I don't have that.
Oh, okay.
And then, like I said, I'm just naturally quiet. I'm not good at just speaking just to talk.
Gotcha.
But if there's something to talk about, if you bring up music, I'm going to talk.
You know.
If we talking like a random, like, Chappelle show skit.
Right, you own it. Yeah.
It's like these targeted things, I'm able to just speak on.
Gotcha.
But like the small talk, I'm the worst at that. Yeah. Like the absolute
So the networking
worst.
Shit, like as far as that?
I can do that because I have an objective. Like, yo, my name's Sport, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But as soon as you start talking about like, yeah, man, so much traffic on the way, like it's I'm like, out. Because like, like that part of my brain isn't there to just like
connect on that.
What you mean it's not there? It's missing?
Yeah, pretty much, because I can't, like, I'll just sit there and be like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Yeah. I fucking hate small talk. That's the shit that I be telling you about. I don't like that shit.
Like what?
Just fucking small talk. Like,
if we
talk about Tupac, I can go hours and hours and tell you about everything about Tupac or DJ Quick or whatever. You say some shit like, oh, well, did you know that 30 degrees is fuck
you
all
in
that
the
bullshit.
You in the pantry with Janice from Accountant and she's asking what you did this weekend.
Yeah, fuck that.
Janice from Accountant.
Yeah. Just like the most normal, like you at work, somebody's just randomly in there, you small space and people feel the need to talk just because two people are there.
Fucking hell.
I am the worst at that. I would rather just be quiet.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Jasmine don't got a mic. She want to talk. Go ahead.
I kind of feel what he's saying because like
she just all in
I
the
don't
shot
know,
and
kind of
shit.
Of like
we
what the fuck just happened?
Go ahead.
It's kind of like a work thing for someone to be like if you're in the coffee room, like it's kind of a work thing. Oh, hey, good morning. How's it doing?
It's like, hey,
you normally
good.
Don't say that. You just say, hey, what's up? Like it's kind of like a work mode kind of thing where like people feel like they need to have a small talk. Oh, how was your commute? How was your? It's kind of annoying because I don't like small talk, but it's just. People just feel the need to do that, but like you don't really care for it because it's just like you don't care about it.
Well, man, especially
I ain't saying good morning.
Really?
Like,
really?
This is weird to me.
So when you look,
what does good morning mean?
Right.
No. Let me explain something to you. Let me explain. They can't hear you. She's finna piss.
Put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game.
Listen, we not finna put you in the game yet. You know what I'm saying? You gotta wait till halftime. Jan Sport J.
Yes.
Okay. This is what I want to explain to you.
Okay.
Because me and Chuck have this conversation all the time, mm-hmm. right? Small talk is not necessarily small. It's small to you because based around your interests. So
I would debate that.
That's fine. But
because,
that's the truth.
No, because there's some people that, like, you can tell when somebody walks in and asks how your weekend was, and they mean it, then you can act like you feel okay talking about it. Some people just walk into a room and they're uncomfortable with silence, and they want to talk.
Oh, no.
That's what I hate.
Like, I agree with you. But I agree with you on that. The whole, like, how are you doing all the time.
Right. How's your weekend? That's what I can't do.
Because what I see, but this is what you got to do. That's why I want to know what the extroverted part of you is, because me... When we at iHeart and people like, hey, how was your weekend? I turn around and say, you don't actually give a fuck how my weekend was.
Right.
And they be like, no. Then why the fuck you ask me that? Just say hey and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, all right, cool. And it's like a relief. Like, oh my God, thank you God you relieved me of that burden. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Just
so why not take that approach?
Because that's not my first thought.
That's
like your first thought. If that was my first thought, that's what I would do.
That's what you would do.
Yeah, that's my
first
thought.
That's not what he
would do. That's what I'm asking, what part of him.
And I have some of those tendencies because, like, if I'm meeting somebody for the first time and I can tell that they're awkward about it or they're nervous, I'm the type to just say some dumb shit.
Right.
Almost like that, just to make it like, yo,
just to break
we're both just
shit.
Here. Like,
right.
It's whatever. Like, we're not both going to be, like, quiet and nervous here. Like,
yeah.
If we're supposed to meet, then I'm going to be the one to be like, yo, like, dumbass joke or something
right.
like that. So I have that part of me that will, like, break the ice in situations like that. But with the small talk, just the random, like, you know, just because people don't want silence, I can't operate in that.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Now, sidebar, this is totally off the fucking radar, but the homie Terrace Martin.
Yes.
Yay, Terrace.
Gotta congratulate him, man. He's nominated for a Grammy, Velvet Portraits.
Yay, yes. Velvet Portraits.
Now, just even kind of like this year, you see these trends now where artists are kind of getting away from giving a fuck about the Grammys, whether they want to protest. Like, I think even Drake for sure, and another artist are possibly not going to go. Who is it, Lil Wayne?
Kanye.
Drake and Kanye,
yeah.
Not going to go. I think last year, the year before, we were all upset when Kendra got snubbed and people were like, oh, you know, they're not picking the right artists that are, you know, on there.
Right.
So what do you think at this point? Should we care? Do we care? What's your thoughts on Grammy? Obviously, if you get nominated, I know you're going to highly give a fuck. You're going to go.
He's going to have his hair just like
you know
that.
What's funny? I always said that I wouldn't go to the Grammy, but you know what? Just like this,
don't
these
be,
past
don't
couple
be that
weeks.
Guy.
No, I thought about it, and the reason I would want to go is to take my mom to the Grammys. Mm. I feel like that'd be some ill
just
shit
for that
to
moment.
Do.
Yeah, yeah.
He just said that because, like, the whole shit I did with my mom.
I was taking notes, but the Grammys, like, honestly, like, if it happened for me, it's something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never been a goal, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
I've never been like, yo, I want to be a Grammy nominated producer.
Right.
Because I know what my music is. But at the same time, so many doors have opened. Now I know that's a possibility to be a Grammy nominated producer. And like I said, I would be so proud of that and it would be amazing. But I've had homies that, you know, you talk about dreams like, yo, we're going to be at the Grammys. And I'm like,
damn,
that'd be cool. But that's not like my dream is different than that.
When people were saying that, what was your comparison? What were you hoping to get when you first started? When you first started, you know what I'm saying, getting on
my thing was to travel the world playing my music.
Damn.
Travel and just get paid to make music.
You're a real life artist.
And like, don't get it twisted. I would love to make millions, mm-hmm. but I've always said whether I'm making millions or I'm able to just support myself travel.
Yeah.
That was my dream. That's what I still think about every single day.
Damn.
You know, the
travel
awards,
where?
Europe, Australia. I still haven't been to Australia, and that's like probably the highest, Australia and Africa, because I went to Morocco, but I didn't go to Africa. So, like, I wanted to see Egypt and Australia, but just anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a kid, I was always the one just looking at globes or maps anytime I came across it. So, traveling ever since a little kid, like, that's been embedded in me. So, that was my version of the Grammys. Like, yo, I can, you know, keep making music and I could travel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my Grammys to me. So, everything else is cake.
Yeah.
So, what if no black people was going to the Grammys? You would still take your mom's?
The year you got nominated. He don't give a fuck about
black
people.
Yeah, I'm
like
taking my mom.
You don't give a
Grammys.
Fuck about black people.
Yeah.
Oh, I love black people.
Do black lives matter to Jansport?
Black
Jay?
Lives definitely matter.
Did you vote this year?
Yes, I did.
Or last year.
Who'd you vote for?
What's funny is I've always been, like, I guess when I was younger, I was very much into politics. And lately, I just became disillusioned when I just didn't care and I wasn't going to vote. And then I felt the responsibility to, like, maybe 2 weeks before, I was like, nah, like,
gotta do it.
Whether I care about these candidates right now or not, like, I literally thought about, you know, my personal ancestors that never had a chance. Like, if any one of them wanted to vote, then yeah. I need to go vote.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was just my reasoning for it. And I definitely voted for Hillary.
Yeah. You voted for Hillary.
I voted for Hillary.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's the same reason why, because my mom's mom died never being able to vote.
That's crazy.
So, like, even I don't give a fuck who the fuck I'm voting for. I don't give a fuck if it's just one thing on the ballot where it registers to me. I'm doing that shit just because. Yeah.
You know, and I don't put that on everybody.
Exactly.
I don't guilt trip people for not voting, but I felt that personal responsibility this time around to go in.
That's crazy. I mean, you were actually at the point where you were possibly not going to do it.
Oh, I was like,
wow.
Yeah.
So how do you feel now? How do you feel now that, you know,
that your vote didn't fucking matter?
Well, we knew it didn't matter.
We live in California. That was my other thing. I was like, it doesn't matter to vote in California.
Right.
That's how twisted this, you know, the system is. Right. Like,
in theory,
certain states are already carved up. Like, we just need the Midwest to vote.
Right.
We just need Michigan. Every 4 years, it's the same states. Man. Florida, every. Ohio. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Who do y'all want as president? Yeah. That's how it works every time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just everything that's happening right now. Like, honestly, when he was elected, the approach I took was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be angry about this shit. It's just going to take it day by day. Honestly, ignore it.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's the right approach, but that's how, like, that was my initial, like, yo, like, I can't do nothing about that man being in office. Like, just get through these 4 years.
Yeah.
But now what's happening is it's been, like, 2 weeks. And so much wild shit is happening. Like, and I can't believe where we at right now with it. Like, there was a Muslim ban.
That shit is crazy. I saw something on, I want to say, Instagram, where they said Trump's in the office in the White House. Like, he just pressing button, like, oh, what this button do? What this button?
Yeah,
do? It's like,
just be crazy. He was just tweeting about, oh, there's some law that Obama had allowing Australian refugees. Like, he was tweeting like he just found this out. He's like, yo, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. That's I'm like, wild. Nigga, we got 4 years of this,
right? And this is only 2 weeks.
And I was like, I don't understand how this is gonna play out because this nigga's gonna burn himself out. Just like, you can't be signing executive orders every other day, it doesn't work like
right.
So it's like, you don't even know where this shit is going. It's just wild right now.
Honestly, man, I don't think I ever said that. I think he's going to get impeached. Like, it sounds crazy, but I think he's going to piss the wrong person off.
I don't think he's going to get impeached. They probably knock him down before they impeach him.
Something's going to happen. Yeah. I used to think it was going to be 4 years going by, but now, like, the way he's moving already, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I don't think nothing's going to happen to him, but I definitely think that white people learning their lesson.
Yeah.
White people are learning their lesson. Man, they like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like when the chick miss her period, you be like, oh shit. Like, it was all fun and games. Right, it was like, we having a ball in this motherfucker.
No.
And you ask her, she's like, in, and then you leave it in. Then you know what I'm saying?
America left it in.
Straight up.
Oh my God.
That's a t-shirt right there, bro.
Hey, I like the shit I just came up with right now.
America left.
I'm really feeling myself. See how I did that? That's what you got to start doing. You know what I'm saying? This that J Dilla shit right here.
Oh man.
So you got 27 tracks of this on.
Yeah.
But what's crazy? It doesn't feel like 27 tracks.
Oh no, fuck that. Hold on, let me do this.
Yes,
it's 27 tracks on the album.
Yes.
Why?
Because you got to think the instrumental album genre is like a whole other genre. So when you listen to a rap album, you're expecting 14, 15 tracks, right?
No. 12.
Yes. No. Okay.
It's getting
there.
Back to that now.
12.
Before, while you was getting, you know, the labels was like trying to throw
everything.
That's
on independent
it.
Shit. But go ahead.
Well, no, that was the majors too. That was
you talking about. I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Right. So, instrumental albums usually are 20 and up. Now, I've done a couple where it's like 14 or 15. I wanted to do that, but like I was saying, the whole process that I go through, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I want to do 13 or 14 tracks, and it took me somewhere else. And I even had problems with it because I was at like 30, 31. I was like, I can't have 30 tracks on it. So I cut it down as much as I could to still keep, you know, everything that's I wanted to say on it. So, it's 27. And it's funny because, like, I'm working on a new one now. And all over again. I'm like 11 tracks.
That's it.
I want it to be super tight and cohesive, but we'll see what happens.
What happens when you get to that process?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't feel like it's that many songs. I mean, it's actually 45 minutes, something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
like 45 minutes.
But either way, like, and like you said, the whole structure of instrumental albums, it's only like a minute per track. It's not like sitting here 3 minutes every single fucking song and shit.
Right,
so it doesn't feel like it's that long. But what's the process for you when you actually have to cut shit down? Like, what doesn't make the shit or what does make the shit? I mean, you have this whole concept of 31 song or 31 mm-hmm. tracks, and how do you actually cut that shit down?
I do a lot of walking. So as soon as I'll rearrange some joints on my laptop, and then I'll go outside and walk and listen to it. Mm-hmm. I want to drive around. I want to hear it in the car. I want to walk around and live with it and envision different things. So it's a lot of walking. It's a lot of just rearranging joints here and there. A lot of times it's listening to two or three beats, wondering if they're doing the same exact thing on the album. So if it has the same feel, okay, which one's the strongest? Okay, yeah. I can keep this one. I love these other two, but I'll use it for something else, or, you know, I'll send it to a rapper. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But
I was going to ask that. Have somebody, like, off of the past ones that you had, because this is the eighth one that you got. It's still crazy to believe that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody heard something off of one of the albums and said, I want that?
Yeah, that's how I got a lot of my first placements. It was off an instrumental album.
Dope,
so I did, who rhymed? I think one of my very first was like Cool G Rap.
Damn.
Off of some instrumental stuff. There's a joint that never came out, but it's with Agalaw and Inspector Deck from Wu-Tang.
Oh, shit.
Just a lot of people have, you know,
they've either,
they've either used joints or that was their introduction to me to say, yo, send me some stuff.
Yeah.
I always tell, you know, young producers, like, yo, don't, you know, beat rappers down with beats in their emails all the time. Just put out
your
projects,
shit.
Make your little money off of Bandcamp or whatever, and get a catalog together so people can hear what you about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. That's like dope. It's been the biggest, you know, blessing of my career is just to put out instrumental albums and gain an international fan base. It's wild. Like we press it up on cassette tapes, which we did for the sole provider, and I thought it was stupid, but I got them for free through Delicious Vinyl.
So why not?
And so when I went to New York last time, I did
shout
a couple
Mike
shows
Ross.
Out there. Yeah, definitely shout out to Mike Ross. They were asking for cassette tapes, and I had CDs on me, and they didn't want to buy them. It was like, okay, like, you know, it's all good.
I
got CDs here.
I
just want cassettes. So we linked up with Fat Beats this time around and did the cassette tape, and sold out on Bandcamp the first day, and we pressed up more, and I'm seeing, you know, they're selling in Germany, they're selling in Montana, they're selling in Japan. Like,
let me hold some money.
It's just... Let me also. I'm waiting on the check to come. So,
all right, when the check comes, then you'll bring us some fucking gifts.
Yeah, the 10-year gift. There we go.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's been a wild journey. It all started from like, yo, I'm the type, I want to create an album. I want to do more than just give rappers beats. I want to create something. So.
Now, initially, when you started that, like back in 2009, 2010, when you first did mm-hmm. this, were you hesitant on putting out shit for free? Because that was at a time where, man, people were doing
it. No, we were all putting it out for free.
Mm.
We didn't think anything about selling it.
Yeah.
We didn't think about selling music until TDE came out, until Kendrick did, OD when he
OD,
sold that.
Yeah.
I think he
yeah.
sold that one.
It was OD, yeah. OD Dedicated.
Even before them, I think you and I, they did
2.0.
And they put it in Best Buy.
Yeah.
And then Dom started selling the stuff, and it was like,
wait a minute.
Oh, I actually took that first lead with Hard Work with, I think, the Black Balls album. That was like the first album we did for sale.
Damn.
And that was scary, but it was like, we got to take this step. So, yeah, initially, like, especially during that time, nobody was buying music, like 2008, 2009.
Right.
The industry was crazy. So it was about just having a Z-Share link or something like that.
Damn,
you see the Z-Share link, you see how many downloads you have, everybody else could see it. Like,
I remember that.
And people would like download it because they saw, oh, he got like 3,000 over the weekend.
That was early SoundCloud right
And that's
there.
How you was getting the blog.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good time to put out stuff for free. But then over time, you know, you had to learn how to kind of monetize it. And thank God for Bandcamp, because when Bandcamp came, like, it just changed everything for me. Like, because of Bandcamp, I can have my catalog in one space.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, when they hear me for the first time, they go and buy 6-7 albums, wow, if not all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Everything's and, all set
and
up
then
in one.
If you want the merchandise, okay, I'll get that cassette tape too, and I'll get that t-shirt. Everything's there.
Damn.
And it emails people when I have new stuff out. Mm-hmm. Like, it collects emails.
Already gets
kind of
your data. I'm not your data. Your email data right
yeah.
there. Damn.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I swear by Bandcamp. Like, I throw stuff on iTunes because I feel like I need to, mm-hmm, and just to be on the streaming platforms, yeah, but Bandcamp has been it for me.
And didn't they reach out and do an interview with you as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I was able to do an interview.
That's
fucking
like, wild.
They're very, you know, you can reach them. Mm-hmm. And they're doing some very dope shit tomorrow. Bandcamp takes like a portion of every sale. So tomorrow they're taking 100% of the portion that they take from Bandcamp artists, and they're donating it to the ACLU.
Oh,
so
shit,
we can kind of keep this nigga in check. That's in office. So any Bandcamp link.
But didn't you vote for
it,
for Trump?
No, absolutely not.
Make that shit clear.
Absolutely, yeah. Do not crop that
right,
part.
Right, right. Headline him up.
It'll be a gift. But did you vote for Trump?
And then he puts reverb on it too. Did you vote for Trump?
Yeah, Trump. And we cut out a piece where you say, yeah. Like, fuck.
It'll be a boomerang.
But then you vote for Trump? Oh, man. Yeah. Now, it's amazing. Like, you the homie. So, like, this shit is always a trip when you look at something like production credits and see the Snoop Dogs, obviously the Absol, Dog Pound, Dom, you said Kool G Rap, AZ, Eastside.
Let him read some so he could brag. He don't like doing that.
That's why
I want you to read some. You got to get out your comfort. I'm not with all this recluse shit you be doing.
It's just weird for me, and it's never going to be normal. And that's good. Yeah. It's good. I feel like it's good to not.
I think that's going to keep you in pocket, too.
I have
that's
to.
That's your shit.
Yeah, right. To. Let him get a Drake single.
He said,
"Why? I'll be popping bottles with
him." Listen, man.
Some bottles to Charlamagne.
Everybody can talk.
Everybody
that
can
shit.
Say whatever till they get a Drake single.
Till they get a motherfucking
like,
joint.
Well, shit. It's right. My shit.
He'll be in here just what? Like. I don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, he's throwing his pinky out.
I'm just weird. We had, shout out to Ja Below, Snoop's artist. I got a placement on that album, so they did the movie. Yeah. So they invited us out to it. And my man had to talk me into going because I was like, I don't want to go to a movie premiere and there's a bunch of celebrities around watching. Like, I'm just going to feel weird there.
Right.
Like,
well, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He wants to travel the world playing his music, dog. He's not trying to do that shit.
You know, like, you never
That's like
wanna...
you trying to take a woman on a date.
I take women on a
nah,
date.
Nah, you don't. All right.
Is there like was a it... club or somewhere that you would go
there
where
we
you
go.
Are?
You it's like you DJing know, in like, the club.
I DJ in the club.
No, but no, I'm that. Saying like somewhere where you're not.
He's trying to do this shit. Like,
not really doing business. You're just, you know, you're going to be uncomfortable there.
You're going to hang out at the
go?
Club.
Now, see, what happened was I didn't want to go, but my homies talked me into it, and I have a sense of mind where it's like, no, you're stupid. This is a dope event.
Right.
It's going to be a dope networking opportunity. So get over it and go.
Get over it
so
and go.
So I went. But yeah. What I'm saying is, like, my natural inclination is just to be like, I'm
cool.
I'm not trying to be there.
Yeah.
And the homies, thank God I have good homies, are like, no.
You don't like white people or like, what don't you? What?
No, it's just, I don't like glitzy shit. You know what I'm saying?
So anything that's popular, you don't fuck with? Or
not that, no. Because that's that underground, like, nerd shit.
Nah, it's...
Like, I'm not going to the club to hang out, to kick it.
Okay.
That's not me. I'm not going...
When you say glitzy shit, define glitzy shit.
Anything that people go to kind of feel on,
I guess. If I got a TV show on MTV2, you wouldn't come on my TV show?
If I have something to do there, yes. If I'm doing a job, if I'm going there just to kick it, like, yo.
No, not to kick it, just to have a conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If this was on MTV2 right now.
Yeah, no, I'd be good.
But it's glitzy, though. You in the millions of homes.
So I gotta restate that. If I have a job to do, I'm there. I don't mind it. But if I'm going to kick it, like a lot of people just want to go somewhere to kick it, to be around.
But it's a dope networking opportunity for you to come to my television show.
And that's why I went.
Yeah.
But like I said, my natural thing is like, yo, I don't want to go.
Do it,
and then my homies will talk sense to me like, yo, this is a good networking opportunity. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm going.
So you don't not
I'm gonna be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I start talking to people,
it
I'm gonna
sense.
Be glad I went.
Right.
You're unable to identify good opportunities by yourself.
It's sometimes that I'll miss it.
Because that's like, not his first.
Yeah,
not
sometimes
his first
I'll go, like, I already know, like, man, it's gonna be some whatever.
Be
shit,
some industry
but, like,
shit or whatever.
I know I need to be here for this.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go. This was a specific one where I was like, I don't need to be there.
So like the Playboy Mansion throwing a party tonight. I want you to come after the show.
See, and that's something that off top. I'd probably be like, nah,
that's not my shit.
It's the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, but I'm gonna be there broke. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
bro,
what am I doing there?
Depends on who invites you though, too.
It also depends on who invites
you. If
you
get that text from Hugh, like, yo, my nigga Jeff, hey,
then I'm there. It's got to make sense. And that's my other thing. So I have homies that are like, yo, we can get into this party. Like, a specific example, there was like a Rock Nation party in the hills somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, my man knows blah, 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 and we can get in there.
Right.
That's not for me. I don't like that. Now, if it's like an A&R, like, yo, come through to this Rock Nation
plus
party.
One.
Cool. I'm going to go there and network. I don't want to go anywhere I'm not invited to.
That makes sense.
Pretty much.
That makes sense.
That's why I break a lot of it down. If I'm invited to it and it feels like there's something to be done there, I'm there.
So
but
have
if it's
you?
Like a connect where it's like, yo, we can get you in. Like, I don't.
But what if somebody says, all right, I can get you in. And then from that experience, you possibly get a Drake placement.
That's where somebody has to super talk me into it.
Got you. They have to really like.
And like this one, he didn't talk me into it because it was. I mean, he was like, yeah, I went and Tata was there.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's cool, but you probably just shook his hand and kept
moving.
Right,
it wasn't like this. Because
it was a bunch of girls around and niggas was drinking Ciroc. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a place to run up on a nigga talk
business.
Right. So, it's not for me.
I'm like
to be
that too, but I'm just saying, I'm like that. I need, but I map out game plans in my head.
Yeah, I need an objective to be there.
Okay, so an objective.
I'm not just trying to kick it.
No, I feel you. I'm the same way. I don't want to just kick it with niggas. But that's what I'm telling you. I understand that aspect of it.
Right.
But I guess what I was getting at is you're unable to identify good opportunities solo.
No, I can identify them, but sometimes I'll miss one. So I can't say I'm unable to identify them. I say for the most part, I will identify them. And random ones like the event, the Snoop one.
Yeah.
I missed it and the homie talked some sense into
it.
And I went. Because I recognized after he really talked me into it.
Right.
But most of the time, I'm not missing anything. Like,
did you recognize it when you got there, or was it after he convinced you to kind of go?
When he convinced me and I started thinking about it, I was like, yeah, I need to be there.
Okay.
Like,
so at that point, you already had a sense of, okay, I know.
Yeah, and
then
I went there and I formally met Snoop and saw, Jasmine up there and all the homies. And, it was a cool event.
It made
sense.
So
I was happy I went.
Yeah.
But, initially, it was like, I don't need to be there. This is not this event. Like, we already got the record. It's coming out. Like, I don't need to be there for a celebration of anything.
I got you.
So
we can't expect no popping ass birthday parties for Janice for Jay no time.
Not anymore. It used to happen.
No popping ass. Like,
that shit would happen at homegrown shit.
No super.
Unless it's a surprise party. It's not. Nah. I'm planning on spending my birthday on tour this year. So that'll be tight.
Well, your birthday in like, when is it?
3 weeks.
Yeah, and we going on tour in like 3 weeks.
That's wild. Is it for the album or is it for?
It's for the album. And we linked up with this group out of Brooklyn, Loaf Music. Their manager, he reached out. We've been chopping it up for a couple weeks. So we got the first date in Vermont, and that's how I knew it was real. I was like,
niggas.
I ain't never been to Vermont. I ain't never thought about going to Vermont.
Like, why the fuck would I be in Vermont? Yeah. Hey, well, all right.
Yeah,
fuck
but
it, why?
So, we got Vermont, Baltimore, New York dates, and so we're just working on a couple other cities. So I'm excited to just get out there and just, figure it out.
Now, you mentioned Delicious Vinyl. One of the things that they had, they gave you access to as far as the cassettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an obvious question, but coming from that world of you just want to travel and play your music to Delicious Vinyl reaching out, or you guys linking up, how did that feel for you, for one? And for two, like, what's changed since that moment, aside from the cassettes, obviously?
Right. Well, linking up with Delicious Vinyl, when that happened, that was a moment in my career I was able to really step back at and smile at it, because it was 2007 when I had a little Microsoft Word document, and I wrote down five labels I wanted to be signed to, like one of these five.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Delicious Vinyl, Stone's Throw, Fat Beats, Baby Grand, and Thrust Records at the time.
Crazy.
So when I was able to put out an album and see Delicious Vinyl on there, like, that was a moment for me.
Yeah.
So that was ill. And then, the ironic part, over time I've learned, like, it's dope to have those co-signs or that validation, but I've also learned how much more confidence that I can have in myself to move around, and that I can do something with Delicious, I can do something independent.
Yeah,
I can go to Fat Beats. Like, I don't have a problem taking my project anywhere that it makes sense. Like, I'm not shy about stepping to anybody with the music.
Yeah.
And we've learned just as a team how to really move and put the music out and do it in a way that makes sense. And we still stumble here and there, but the dope thing is that amongst all of us, none of us are afraid to fail.
Right.
Like, we're just going to figure it out as we go, and none of us are going to quit, because this is what we want to do.
I feel like that's the best approach. I remember when around that time that shit happened, we was at the time we were doing like the show at Zanzibar.
Zanzibar.
And yeah. I think we were typing up, yo, the people that are participating and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, sport from Delicious Vinyl. I don't even think it was at the time solidified or anything.
Yeah, I think we were just putting it out. Like, that was one of the first shows that we announced it at, yeah, I think. So.
It's just crazy that you had a vision. You had something that you saw in your mind, and then you spoke that shit to an existence.
Yeah.
Now, what I do want to get into is, we talked about this off air, but I always like to bring this up because there are people that are listening, whether you're artists, producers, yourselves, or just fans, that don't understand the power in your fucking words, mm-hmm. right? So we were talking about off air. You said you think you're about that time where you're going to take that leap. You know, Jasmine asked you off air, yo, you got a 9-to-5, are you doing this? You know, there's the music shit, everything that you're doing.
Right, right.
Still got the 9-to-5. Ever since I know you got the 9-to-5. Right. I've had the 9-to-5 for a while.
Yeah.
I spent almost a year now. I took a leap in April.
Yep.
Right.
Took that fucking leap, scared as fuck, didn't know how shit was going to work out.
Yeah.
But here we are fucking 8-9 months later, and I'm still tripping. I'm like, damn, April's going to be a year.
Right.
When are you going to take that leap?
I'm going to take that leap. What I learned from the last time we talked about this is that, I guess it's a quote from Islam that I love. It's, the man plans and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners.
Mm.
So my job is just to be in tune with that feeling and jump when it's time to jump. For this tour, I asked for a leave of 6 weeks.
Mm.
As I was talking to Matt, who's putting the whole tour together, he was saying, yo, how long can, you know, if I want to know how long I should book it. I'm like, yo, just keep booking it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to my employers or whatever and tell them I need this amount of time off. That's, and if they tell me I can't have it, I'm going to take it anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving. So I guess in a sense, I'm there now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm operating off of, like, okay, what are the realistic financials that are going to come in?
Right.
Like, this run is going to be 6 weeks at the most.
What's going to happen after that?
And yeah. So if I still have a place to come to, then I'm going to come back to it. But my thing right now is that, I'm still working at a pace where I don't allow work to inhibit anything I'm doing musically.
Mm.
If I have, like I was telling you off air, when they were trying to clear the Snoop samples last minute, I told my boss, I got to go.
I don't give a fuck. Like,
I don't care. No, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So
damn.
That's where I'm at with it. And that's the thing is, they know everything I do. So yeah.
It's not like you hide anything.
Yeah. And we had to talk. I was like, yo, as much notice I can give you on anything, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
At the same time, this music is my priority.
Yeah.
So.
That's dope. I mean, the fact that you gave them a heads up,
and
you're upfront about that shit versus hiding around and say, oh, I'm sick, or see your ass fucking on Instagram or some shit.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, everybody started researching stuff, and they're surprised at what, you know, because I don't like talking about it. I'm just like, yo, like, yeah, I make music.
So you justin in a corner over there, or to whatever your position is, you're just justin.
Just setting up video conferences for lawyers and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, over time, it's like, oh, so you make music? Like, have you worked with anybody? And then that's where I'm like,
you don't want to read off the credits.
And then as soon as I mention one or two people, they're like, what's your artist name? And then they Google it.
Oh, shit.
And then, you know, they see that there's stuff out there. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's a whole weird process.
Wait a minute. All right, go ahead. Never mind.
No, circle back on that, because I want to talk about those experiences. Like, has a coworker came up to you, as the boss? Like, has anybody?
Man,
actually,
fuck all that. You work with lawyers?
Yeah, I work at a crazy law firm. Nigga, I've met 3 billionaires in the past.
Okay,
year.
So
shit.
I met Warren Buffett. We were talking about
get
cookies.
The fuck out of here, dog.
This nigga Warren Buffett was like, yo, these sugar cookies are amazing. I was like, yeah, you should try these over here.
Hey, you know what?
It's funny because everybody is so uptight around. They're like, oh my god, Warren Buffett's coming. So
right.
And so, like, I've discovered, like, the richest people I've ever met, except for the Snapchat CEO. He's an asshole.
Mm.
But everybody else, they are the coolest people.
Listen,
they're not
bro.
Tripping off anything,
bro. You work with a whole bunch of rich white people.
Yeah.
And you don't mention nothing you do to them.
We don't work directly with the lawyers that much. We set stuff up for them. So the ones I do talk to, they do know I make music and stuff like that. Some of them know I'm taking a leave and everything. Yeah. But, like, the people I work with are mainly, like, AV related and doing copy work and all that kind of stuff. So
damn, so you ain't never hit, hey Warren, man, them sugar cookies is a shit, but check this fair out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Nah,
like,
nah, none of that. Been fired.
Yeah,
like,
been
they
right.
were already mad. Yeah. I was talking to them. They were like, oh my god, that black kid with the dress talking to Warren.
That guy with the beard.
Yeah,
bro,
we're just chopping it up.
shoot your motherfucking shot, dog.
Well, you got to do it when it makes sense. It has to make sense. Like I'm not just going to run up on Warren Buffett.
I'm not saying run up on him. Right. I'm just saying if you around all these people
I definitely do, too. Like, I know some of the entertainment lawyers and people who have actually worked with people in the industry I know. Mm-hmm. And so I talk to them about certain things. But at the same time, I keep it like the same way I've approached everything in my career. I will tell you what I do. Mm-hmm. I can tell you where you can find everything. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to ask you what you can do for me. Because what's happened in my career over time is that I've built trust with people over the years. So when they do come back around, we're able to work. Right. Like the album I have coming out with Chase and Cash.
Shouts out, yeah.
That's like based off of us knowing each other for years and me never being thirsty. Yeah. I've been working with Hit-Boy, and that was based off of like, yo, like I've known you over the years. You're dope, and you've never been thirsty.
Yeah.
And sitting in the studio with Dom for the album that they have coming out, me and Hit-Boy did a joint. So like, that's just been my whole approach. Like, I'll talk to you about what I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not the type to be like, yo, what can you do for me? Because I know I hate when people do that to me.
I'm not saying what can you offer. Bring value. What can I do for you?
But I see what he's saying.
Yeah, but it's got to make sense within the conversation. Yeah. Like, if they bring something up, like, oh, yeah, my daughter's having a birthday party. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, you guys have a DJ or something like that. I'll bring it up in that sense, but I'm not just going to randomly, you know.
Offer kind of, you know, I do this and this.
Yeah, I make beats. Yeah. You rap on the side.
Hey, Buffett, you ever thought about this hip hop shit? Right. What's up, man? What's going on?
Right.
So the Black Jesus is the project that you got with Chase Cash, man. Yeah. And that's the EP that's what, 4 tracks?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, we played one of them before we start the actual interview and shit, man. Mm-hmm. But you said that started off the relationship with him, like just never being thirsty and shit.
Yeah, we've known each other over the years. He hit me up in like 2014 to send some beats through. Mm-hmm. I sent some. It just didn't work out at that time. Like he used some of the beats from that time period. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense to do it now. So we put it together. We're actually working on a full length after this called Edutainment. But yeah, it's been dope working with Chase. I tell people, I thought I worked hard until I met this nigga. Like,
damn.
This nigga's literally like Pac. Work at. He's never sleep. Like, really? Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, you check your phone, and I see Chase tweet.
Yeah, he tweet like a motherfucker. Game. Yeah, yeah. But he hits some real shit, some gems, too.
Yeah, and I know he's in the studio. I know he's working on his merchandise. Like, his merchandise is killing right now. Like, he got that Can Buy Respect sweater on everybody. Yeah. So yeah, like, it's dope to work with somebody that brings something out of you and makes you want to work even harder. Because I'm like, yo, like, I think I work hard until I see him, and I'm like, yo, I can go harder.
It pushes you.
Yeah, so.
Damn. That's wild. Now, let me see. One thing that we always like to ask before we conclude, man, is what's one thing that you want to do before the year is up? What's one thing that, I mean, I know you already got the tour set up, but mm-hmm. before the year ends, what's one thing that Jansport J has to make sure the year can't end without you doing what?
I don't know if it's one thing. I want to put out a lot more projects. I'm working on trying to get 4 out by the summer. Honestly, the tour was the one big thing I wanted to do, like going into this year. I wanted to make sure I toured this year. Yeah. So we're doing that. And now I'm trying to line up something for the fall. Just trying to, you know.
Keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. And there's placements I have in mind that I want to get locked in. So
speak on them or not?
I mean, I was able to send a pack over to the Dreamville camp, so I'm just hoping something comes from that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but it's just a blessing to have that access. So
when you do, like, this is totally foreign to me. When you send a batch over, like, what does it consist of? Is it 5, 10, 20 tracks? Like, what do you send over in hopes to?
I'm notorious for sending, like, 40 or 50 beats.
40?
Yeah.
Get the fuck. Is that typical for, or, like, do other
people? If I'm sending it to somebody at a label or something like that, I'll send a folder over.
Gotcha.
And I want to make sure I have a relationship with them to where they will actually download that folder.
Gotcha.
I know the difference between somebody just wanting me to send 2 or 3 joints.
Yeah.
And I know when I can send over a folder batch. And they just want to play it for a bunch of different artists.
Yeah.
So I prefer to do that because you have a better chance of something landing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, most of the time it's like 40 to 50 beats. I was telling Liz last night on Essentials Radio, I probably make on average about 275 beats a year. And people hear 30 throughout the year. And so that's one of the things I approach coming in this year. I was like, I got to do more with these joints. Even if, you know, all those aren't throwaways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like maybe 20% are throwaways, but 80% can be doing something.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to, you know, think of.
But you always hear those stories too, where people say, "Man, something I made 3 or 4 years ago gets placed."
It's always the joints you don't like.
Yeah,
and that's why I always throw, even on my albums, I'll throw in 2 or 3 joints that I don't like, and it'll be what it is. The Chasing Cash joint that we played, we've gotten a big response on that. I didn't care for that beat that much.
Get out of here.
But I felt like he could.
Get out of here.
I felt like he could rap on it and do something with it that I wasn't hearing just on the instrumental side. So
there was one, I think it was at the end of Crenshaw, where it was like a snippet of like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was so mad at you on that shit, dog. Yeah, what the fuck?
I try to do that every album. That's honestly, I get that from Pharrell. Because Pharrell will have the illest joint on the Nerd albums or his solo albums that are like hidden tracks at the end of a song. So I try. I love that beat, and I was like, I'm going to let that live at the end of something else and just let it be like a snippet, and hopefully somebody will react just
the
like
same
you
way.
Did.
Yeah, so but like, that's fuck, I need the last 20 seconds of Crenshaw.
Right, right.
Damn, that's crazy.
I was looking at like all of your stuff, right? At your page, your Bandcamp.
JansportJMusic.com.
JansportJMusic.com.
Yeah.
And I see a picture of you.
Oh, God.
With a bald head. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And you got a bald head. I want people to see this.
Oh, God, what is this?
You got the young Kanye
starter
kit on.
That's a costume.
No, don't do that.
I'll tell you the story behind it.
This is the Kanye West. Go ahead.
So if you look up Special Presentation on YouTube, it was a whole 90s themed video. And shout out to Millie, who's a stylist. He did all that and had the girls all dressed up or whatever. So he threw on the dookie chain and all that kind of stuff.
Fat rope.
And yeah, so that's what that is.
So you like to dress up.
That's not how I walk around. That sounds wild. You like to dress up.
I'm just for that
video we did, because we wanted to do something that was like, we wanted to do 90s Soul Train.
I'm just taking a look here.
He over here going through.
So yeah, no, I'm looking at everything.
He's gonna pull up something wild.
Yeah, what
thinking.
You got going?
I got a question, man. Back to the whole being signed shit. Did it meet your expectations? You said you wrote 5 labels that you wanted to be a part of. Now, right. Being a part of Delicious Lino and being able to work with Fat Beats and doing things like that, did it meet your expectations of what you thought it was going to be?
Nope. And that was a blessing.
Dumb.
It was like, oh, like, we could still just do this by ourselves. Like, don't get me wrong, a lot came from those situations, a lot of contacts. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, that brand being associated with your name,
absolutely,
like, it does a lot, especially overseas. So it helped in that sense. But as far as, like, the infrastructure of, like, marketing and, you know, just the whole system, the way you think it would be, in these specific situations, it wasn't the expectations I had, which is good to have that experience and not crumble or get, you know.
Right. Some people fold under that.
A lot of people just, they get bitter.
Right.
They get bitter very easily. And the one thing I could say is that even though I can't read reviews, I don't mind a no. Mm. Like, I'm fine, like, thick skin when it comes to, like, you know, whether I can do this or not. I know I can make music.
Right,
I know I can be successful at this. So if you don't see it, it's all good. I'll just keep. I got here in a sense by myself. I have a team, everybody that helps me out. But it all started in a bedroom in Covina, California, myself. Yeah. So at the end of the day, if I'm the last person to believe in it, then I'm just going to be the last person. Like, it's nothing different.
Somebody on Instagram Live, shout out to the homegirl Sakina. She said, when I say, oh, he's from Covina, they said, what part? I don't know. Is there a specific?
That sounds a little crazy. No. Yeah. I'm right off of Roland and Aramlin. If you know where the, what's the name of my, Eastland Shopping Center.
Okay.
I'm right over there.
Gotcha.
I don't know where the fuck that is.
Yeah, but Cove, everybody in the Cove, they're like, okay, he's right. Twice. He's over by Eastland.
And so also, what the fuck is Black White?
Black White Goldville, right? Yeah. So Black White Goldville,
yeah, because
hey, Loki, we got to talk about that, because he went off the radar for a little bit, came back, switched up his whole social media
with
to
a
be
crazy name.
It, I was
too.
Like, I think I seen you up, like, yo, what the fuck? He was like, trust me, it's gonna make sense. It was like it was Black White Goldville.
So I was doing just BWG.
Yeah,
at
BWG.
The time,
I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So I mean, this is where it's gonna sound esoteric and all that kind of stuff.
Get
the
sage.
I'm about to get the weird shit
like that.
Get the sage.
This is where it's gonna get weird, people.
Get the sage. Get the sage.
So I was going through whatever at the time, just a lot of personal growth and all that kind of stuff.
I just farted, by the way.
Go ahead. There we go.
Just so you know, don't creep up. I had shrimp. Go ahead.
He's going through some personal shrimp growth right now.
And no red vegetables. Right. So during that time, like I've always wanted to have my own situation, and I just never knew what to name it. And you know, I was doing my black and white pictures on Instagram. I've always just liked black and white pictures because I feel black and white is bold. It captures your attention without being flashy. Like, yo, check this out.
Glitzy.
It's without being glitzy. It's go. Just it's a classic feel to it. And I felt like that's how I try to approach everything. Mm-hmm. I want you to notice me. I want to stand out in the room. But at the same time, I don't want to be over here, like, you know, being a cheerleader. So that's where the black and white came from. Gold is something that's forever to me. Gold is what the black man has always been associated with. Gold is what we've always chased. It's riches. It's, you know, it has that connotation to it. So classic feel, forever type shit, soul music. And then the Ville was just, it was my state of mind at the time. So I was like, how do I make it sound like a place? Ville. So damn. It was random as hell, but that's the meaning behind Black, White, Goldville. And I was like, you know what? Like, it's weird, but if I can get a fan base to recognize that and to say it the right way and have pride in that, then that's going to stick by itself.
The
so.
First thing is explaining it. That makes perfect sense to me. I mean, you just getting that.
It's weird as fuck.
It's weird as fuck.
But it makes sense.
But like I said,
I'm surprised people actually, for the most part, pronounce it right. Because that's what I was saying. I was like, people aren't going to be able to read this. But they'll pronounce it right.
That's why I'm like,
what does it mean?
The whole time you was talking, I'm over here looking at all your shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is black, white, gold here? Right. Like, I know how to read. I know I'm not stupid. All right.
Just a couple of more things before we do close out, man. You've done a lot of collaborative projects. Mm-hmm. Can you say collaborative projects? You know, obviously with Hard Work, El Prez, you got Chasing Cash. I mean, the list goes on. But for you, when you approach projects solo and, you know, do shit with other people, what are like the strengths and weaknesses that you see within yourself as a producer? Like, I know when I'm by myself, I can do this, that, and the third. Right. When I'm with somebody, man, this kind of helps me out as a producer more.
Collaborating, I feel like that's when you become a real producer. Because you can just give somebody beats, but my goal with any collaborative album I've done is every time I want to make a world. I know, like, growing up, when I listen to my favorite albums, it feels like you go into a world, and as soon as that last track ends, you're coming out of it. So I was like, I want to do shit like that. I want to create a world that people, when I hear like Hell Hath No Fury, that feels like a world to me. Yeah. So that's always my goal. So I know that's where I'm starting from. And then from there, it's all about getting to know the artists and figure out what they want to talk about, what they light up about whenever we're having random conversations, random titles that pop up in their head. Like working with El Prez, we talked about working on the album together. And I didn't know what it was going to sound like. I just thought it'd be interesting hearing L.A., like an L.A. voice on my production. And when he said Urban Street Americana, I knew right away what it sounded like. And I was just hoping that he would trust that weird sound. But I knew what it was going to sound like. And working with Hard Work, it was like, you know, we got really close. We, you know, had these life experiences together. And we were able to put all that into the music. You know, how goofy we were, how serious we can be. All that stuff. So, you know, producing for other people, that's what I was able to do and able to, you know, just grow in that area as far as, like, you're not just serving yourself. You have to inspire somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what I learned from producing for other people. As far as, you know, myself, is just therapeutic. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, whatever needs to come out. And I say the weakness, in collaborations, you'll have every idea, you know, under the sun. And you have to compromise because you're working with somebody else. So you might listen to that album and you're always going to have the random, oh man, I wonder if we would have did this, like the one thing I wanted to do, like how that would. And you know, so with collaborations, that's always there. When I listen to instrumental albums, you still have that here and there, but for the most part, it's like, that's what I wanted to make at that time. I feel good with it. Working by yourself, you just become like a hermit, and maybe there's a little bit of doubt as you're creating it because you don't know how people are going to connect with it. I didn't know what the response would be on this album. And this is the loudest response I've ever gotten for a project. Like,
that's why
I wasn't expecting, like, I'm realistic about my music. Soul Provider is still my favorite album to me. Pharaoh is what had to come out right now. And I've never heard from so many people and gotten so many new fans and people just, like, actually, like, yo, like, cheering for the shit and telling other people about it. And tape selling out, that's never happened for me. So Yeah, it's just interesting.
That shit was refreshing as fuck, man. Like playing flag football, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, that shit was refreshing to the motherfucker, man.
You said Capri Sun.
That shit was like a fresh Capri Sun after playing a long game of flag football, man. Again, Pharaoh is the name of the project.
Yes.
You can grab it right now, jansportjmusic.com. Is that how you prefer people to grab it, or is...
Yeah, and once again, if you're going to buy it tomorrow. Proceeds go to the ACLU. Dope. And then also make sure you get the Black Jesus EP, Chasing Cash, and myself. That's on Apple Music, Tidal, all the streaming services. I was going to say, working with Melod on another one, so we're doing that right now. And hopefully another solo around the fall or something like that.
Real random as fuck. Are you related to MERS?
Here's the thing. I don't
Nick, give I don't us know the Twitter version.
No, because go ahead.
My grandfather just passed away.
Yeah, no.
So when I went to the funeral, I saw DJ Artistic. Yeah. And I know he's related to MERS. And I was like, they were introducing us, and I was like, Artistic. And like everybody else was looking like, well, who's Artistic?
It's Ron over there.
So I found out... My grandfather's wife, who's my step-grandmother, but she's always been like grandmother to me, that's his aunt. So
gotcha.
I don't know where MERS is at in any of that.
Gotcha, if it's, gotcha.
But anything, you know, we're related by marriage, me and
all three of y'all weird.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I don't know Artistic that well, but I know
he's
MERS
weird
is
as
weird.
Fuck.
Okay, yeah, and I'm weird as fuck.
And he
yeah.
ugly.
I'll take ugly too.
I didn't say you was ugly.
You did when we was over on the Insta Live. You said, I got ugly ass friends. And then you introduced me. And I said, Sporty DeVoe. And he said, what the fuck is that? And then they cut off.
Gotcha. He remember all that shit. I don't remember. We did 15. I know we got to wrap this shit up because my ass hurt on this stool.
Hey, I got to ask this last thing. I'm sorry. I know we'll close after this. But you mentioned about the how, with the whole Snoop shit, mm-hmm. you could have got that money, but they didn't like... copy. They didn't clear the sample at the last minute or some shit like that.
Right.
Is that ever a worry for you when you actually create? Because you deal with samples a lot.
Yeah.
Is that something are you trying to pull back on? You like, man, fuck it, I'm gonna just create and let it go where it is.
I mean, with this specific album, there was one joint I was really worried about. Obviously, it's like the Michael Jackson sample. This really, and it's the most popular joint.
Yeah.
But at this point, the way I know it to work out, and maybe I'll find out the wrong way, but. Usually at my level, they just send a cease and desist.
I got you.
Which is like, on one level, it's about making the money, but it's not about making money off the album. It's about being able to go out and do shows and sell your merchandise and stuff like that. So I'm definitely, when it comes to samples, I'm trying to be a little bit smarter about it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to use more obscure stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also working with labels now, I have that lane to, you know, clear a sample. Mm-hmm. Now I've built up enough stock to where I can send sample beats to A&Rs now, and they're not going to tell me like, yo, send me some non-sample stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they know what my sound is. So if you're asking me for beats, you're going to get a lot of sample stuff. You'll get like four or five original joints.
Right. Just notice what you're going to get when you get some shit.
But I'm always going to sample because that's what I do. That's my connection to music, and that's what hip hop is based on. And I don't knock anybody that doesn't sample. I have a problem with people who feel like sampling is whack or whatever because that's what hip-hop came off of.
Exactly.
We took disco records and break records and we put it on loop and niggas was rhyming.
Right.
So if you act like all of a sudden like, yo, you can't sample
that's
hip-hop,
man.
Like, no, that's what we've always done. So to each their own, really.
Crate digging or web surfing as far as?
Web surfing. It's funny because people assume I have crates. I have like 6 or 7 vinyl records. I will go out and like go through crates and stuff like that. And then make note of what I want to look up. But I spend most of my time on these random ass like European or South American blog sites or going on YouTube. And then what I actually do is I learn the artists. I look up their catalog. I'll get the full album. So pretty much I have what people have. Crates everywhere.
I was about to say
it's all on my laptop.
That wouldn't make
it's a digital.
I feel like that makes more sense and it's a little more resourceful and cheaper. I would imagine.
I probably have more in my laptop than most people have in crates.
Wow.
So, like, I don't physically crate dig, but I have an insane amount of albums just on my laptop that I'll go through every once in a while.
Now, I'm gonna make you uncomfortable one last time.
Okay.
All right.
No, I'm good. You had said just
fuck that.
Approach it. And just
Amoeba, man. You go to Amoeba and see your shit, man. How was that?
That was tight. We were looking for the tapes. I Google searched to see where the album was at, and it showed up at Amoeba, where Delicious Vinyl's right across the street. So I was like, I got to go there and see.
See,
it'll be my first time seeing it there. And so we get there. We couldn't find the cassettes. I asked the dude over there. He's asking me for the artist name. That's when I was feeling weird because like, I was like, Jansport. And I knew it was going to come up on his computer and it was going to be like a weird moment. But
oh, nigga, that's you.
they showed me where it was at and it was a dope feeling. It all goes back to being in the bedroom hoping that you could have moments like this. And so it's just like another notch of like, yo, this is not a game anymore. Like, you've done something.
Man, so, my God, man. Well, we appreciate you coming through. I'm always proud of you. Always glad to see the progression over the years.
And I'm glad and so proud of what y'all are doing. Like I said, like,
thank you.
It's very inspiring to see everybody come up, especially the homies. And like, we were in that apartment like five, six years ago.
Yeah.
And now I could turn on Real 92.3 and hear you guys.
That's so, love, man.
It's
love.
Just crazy. It's dope to see.
At Jansport J, JansportJMusic.com. Just get everything from there, man. Yep. The Black Jesus coming. Well, that's actually probably out right now.
It's out right now, man.
Go on and support that as well, man. And shit, we just look forward to the next thing, man. Appreciate you as always, man.
Yay, Jansport.
Next go round. This is Homegrown, baby.